Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. The Reverend Dr. Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. And the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's that three-letter question, why? Why my son and not me? Why now? Why not before, Elijah? Why now? You could almost hear the widow say in her mind to Elijah, "Why would your God, the God who provided this miraculous supply of food in the midst of famine, which Baal never did for us, why would your God preserve our lives through all of that, saving us from starvation, the starvation that we expected to die from, but then you showed up, and now he's dead. My son is dead. Why would your God do that?" But then she begins to look inward, which we hear in our text. That thought process, which we can fall into. Is it because of something I've done? O man of God, why did you come to me? Your God is now directed here. You're a holy man, and now all of a sudden, God has seen my sin in light of your holiness in her perception. I know we would have starved to death, but then you came. Maybe it's my sin. You, a holy man, have brought attention to me. Has he seen me in comparison to you? He sees my sins, and now he's taken my son. But it's not about her sins. It's not about her sin. That's not the reason for his death. John 9 records the encounter that Jesus has with the family and the blind man. Who sinned, Jesus? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? And the answer was that God's glory would be made known through Jesus. So too, the death of the boy occurs for other reason than the woman's sins. But who of us has not reasoned that way? The death of a child or a family member, infertility, the loss of a job, an illness, whatever that grief might be, it gets turned inward or perhaps even outward in blame. They're the reason, if it's not me. And that's where the devil needles us. That's where our own minds might ruminate on the past. Why? In the case of the widow, only God knows why, the why. It was hidden from her. Yet God worked through this event, through her son's death, beyond what she or even Elijah could fathom. In a sense, the events appear rather prophetic. Elijah, the man of God, God's prophet, is moved to action out of love and compassion for this widow. The widow who had come to believe in Yahweh, the living God, over against Baal, the god of death. Give me your son. And then he takes the boy to the upper room where he could pray in privacy to the Lord. And like Jacob before God, Elijah wrestles with God in prayer. Yahweh, my God, let this child's life come back into him again. Three times he intercedes. And God answers. And here's where we get a glimpse of the why, perhaps the second-hand result. Elijah's faith is drawn to such a point that he asks for a miracle which has never occurred before, to make a dead person alive again. And Elijah, with such resilience on the Lord, trusts that God will use him as an instrument to raise this boy from death. And the Lord listens. Indeed, he listens to Elijah's voice, and the child's life returns, and he's revived. And he returns the child to the widow. See, your son lives. Alive, body and soul. Not in a hope or a dream, but there he is, alive. The experience turned out for her good. The author to the Hebrews reflects back to that line of faithful back in Hebrews 11:35, including this widow. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Indeed, she had received her dead son back again, alive. The Lord of life shows himself to be who he truly is. In the life of the widow, we see a type pointing ahead through Elijah to Jesus, the greatest prophet, who by his own power would raise people from the dead. Whether the widow of Nain, her son, or Lazarus, or even himself, Jesus is the one who does this. The one who he himself suffered and died on the cross for you and for me. For the sins of the entire world. He experienced death and the grave for you. But all the more, by his death, he has done something that no other person's death could do. This is God in the flesh, who has conquered death by his own death. And the grave has lost its sting, it's lost its power. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, you have the assurance of life and salvation through faith in him. And because Jesus lives, so will you and all who trust in him. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him will live, even though he die. And whoever lives and believes in him will never die. The widow trusted. She believed. And therefore she confesses, as we hear at the end of the text, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of Yahweh in your mouth is truth." She becomes a true daughter of Abraham, something Jesus will point out to the religious leaders and certainly not get excitement from them. But then, as she became a true daughter of Abraham, so do you become a son or daughter of Abraham through faith in Christ. So why did the widow's son die? Well, like I said before, and what we often said in Africa, God knows. But we see the results. Elijah the prophet, empowered and emboldened for the task, the immediate call to action on behalf of the widow, but also the task that lays before him in the next chapter of 1 Kings. There, Ahab and Jezebel and the Baal prophets lay before him. Yet there is the widow who, in her simple faith, is able to confess Yahweh as her God alone, pushing aside Baal and seeing the true God and his trusted Messiah yet to come. All the catechesis by faithful Elijah is confirmed so the more by the raising of her son, by God's actions. With that, the why question can only, we can only say God knows, yet behind it is the fundamental truth, which is this, that Christ died, that he truly died for you and bodily rose for you, and because of him, you have life. You have life now by faith, baptized into Christ. You have now entered into the life that never ends. And trusting in Christ, you have a certain confidence that because of Christ's death on the cross for your sins and his bodily resurrection from the dead, that you too will rise from the dead. And that resurrection will be body and soul, perfect and glorious, and for all eternity. And it will be sooner than you think. That day will come. It's a day that the Christian longs for, looks for, anticipates, expectantly hopes for, that day of Christ's return. And while we do wait, we live in that sure and certain hope and confidence that Christ is risen from the dead. And because Jesus is the God, not of the dead, but of the living, we trust in him, who has conquered sin and death for all. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Joining us for chapel, the broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.